QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Pry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, topic for the evening. We're going to pull out of the QST for March issue of mounting mobile 2-meter antennas. And where is the best location? Good little article there, about a three-pager starting on page 43. So if you got a March issue QST, starting on page 43. All right, I will now go through our brief roster here. WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CLZ.
Hey, Mike. Glad to have you out there. I almost didn't get your call sign out. WB6CIN, Cindy.
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN. Hello to everybody on the net.
Cindy, glad to have you and Mike both out there. Appreciate that. How about KA6CIA, George and Lucerne?
Yeah, good evening to the group, KA6CIA.
All right, George, hope you're warmer down there than we are up here, even if it's just a little bit. I think Harry and Nancy are out of town. How about KJ6HZS, Mike?
And Tom, the group is KJ6HZS, no traffic.
Okay, Mike, hope the snow is melting off over there like it was over here today. Courtesy check-in, K6EKX. And moving on to WA6ITC, Rod. And nothing heard. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good evening, everybody. KJ6FIL.
Good evening, Mike. Glad to have you out there. Thanks for being with us again. How about KJ6KDL, Jim? Dathener, KJ6KDK, Rosemary.
Now this is KJ6KDK, and KJ6KDL is on his way. He's in the other room.
Okay. We'll have to buy him a new watch. Thanks for having you both out there. Appreciate that. Alrighty, how about W6GZI? Frank, are you out there? Nothing heard from Frank. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. Once in a while, Tom, you could pass the mic over and let Annette talk. KI6IQA.
I love that. That's good. I'm writing that one down right here, right there. Kelly, Annette. Got it. All right. How about N6BOP? Ann from Pomona. Nothing heard. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is Ron, K6GBL from beautiful downtown Green Valley Lake.
Hey, Ron, glad to have you checking in this evening, and watch out for that traffic. I'm sure it's about as hectic as it is up here in Sugarloaf. How about 86PL Harold Riverside?
Evening, 86PL.
good evening, Harold. Glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. K6LCS, Clint. And nothing heard. How about KJ6PYV, Dave in Sugarloaf?
Good evening, Tom. Everyone on the net. KJ6PYV.
Dave, I did not lie. I did write that down last week as we were speaking. I think Judith and Ken are still away. Let's move on down to K6YNW and see if Chris is out there. And no, Chris, how about W6POO? They might have a desert rat thing.
Well, this rat's here to say good evening. Hi, Tom and Annette, W6POO from Palm Springs. Good evening.
All right, Chip, glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Let's see, wonder if we have let's see, what else we got here? Oh, KD6LAN Bill. He's probably underneath his car. All right, moving on down, AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, Tom and Zanette. Victor Santa Fe Springs, and I wonder how cold is in the Big Bear right now, Alan.
Very, very cold. I know it's down there, I'm going to guess, maybe 25, 26. I'm away from the temperature thing. But it's cold, a lot colder than down there in Santa Fe Springs. How about, KA6ROD, he's still over in Arizona, emailed me. How about KB6LTY Christy? And nothing heard there, and that's pretty much the list of regulars. Anybody else out there like to check in, please come back to KF6Q.
Howdy, K6YW.
Coachella Valley.
All right, I got Chris in there, YNW. Glad to have you with us, Chris. And somebody else was underneath you from Coachella Valley. Go ahead.
Yeah, November 6th, Whiskey Echo, Ken. No traffic, but just fun to check in with your net. Thank you very much.
Good deal there, Ken. Glad you're listening up today. And we got a lot of people to listen. That's fantastic from Coachella Valley. Anybody else?
WA6ITC.
And there's Rod, WA6ITC. I knew you were out there working somewhere. Anybody else? Anybody else can check in anytime and always join in with any questions, suggestions, or comments. Not a problem. That's what it's all about. Well, Mike, we get into the topic. Is there any DX to report, Mr. DX?
I don't think I deserve that name at all. Well, Tom, not on this end. I haven't been here much. I haven't been really pounding the airwaves. But, just from a quick listen, there's not a heck of a lot going on. Space weather, last time I looked, is reporting a sunspot number down to 45. So, I mean, we're way down. Solar flux units are 106. Just not really good to support much DX, at least on 10 meters or on the higher bands. I don't know what's happening on the lower bands, and I don't know if anybody else is digging anything out, but that's the report from this end, and hopefully things will pick up, but I don't see anything in the near future that looks good. So back to you, Tom.
Hi, it's KF6Q with the Tech Tuesday Net on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Anybody else out there, any DX to report, please come back. All right, well, sounds like that's pretty much what it is. One little announcement, Mike, that I forgot. If everything goes proper, might have Echolink back up and running within a day or so. So stay tuned. Anyway, and we didn't hear Quint out there. Anyway, so Mike, 2 meter. We're on 2 meter right now. I'm on a base unit. You're on a base unit. A lot of times we're out there mobile. So, according to John Portoon, W6NBC, got a good article here on mounting your antenna on your mobile. And gotten just off the top of my head. You have one on your Jeep thing there, your four-wheeler that you bring up. Not a Jeep, but you know what I mean.
I don't really have a permanently mounted antenna on either of my my residential my truck or the little truck or my Subaru, but I do have a mag mount that I stick on, and we always kind of put it in the center of the top of the car as high as I can get it and try to center mount it. But it is a mag mount. It's not a permanent. We do have permanents on the boom truck though.
Okay, well, he's got here listed out pretty much all the possible locations. Maybe we'll go through this list here real quick. Of course, the obvious is the rooftop in the middle, in the center. And he's got the rooftop on the side. I guess that would be kind of like what we call that little gutter mount there by the side. Then we've got the rear window top center with a glass mount. And we'll get into the glass mount a little bit later. Trunk lid, if you have a car. I guess you could do that if you have a truck. I guess there is no trunk lid. Cancel that. The other would be the trunk lid side or front, and, of course, against the truck lid at the center, which was the previous one there. So, anyway, mag mounts, I've got one on one truck in the middle, and there we have it. Which would you say in your captivity of all the times you've had any vehicle with an antenna, I'd say that probably the rooftop center, would you say, is probably most popular?
I think that's correct. I think I've had better luck with a roof mount than any other antenna, and this is for 2 meters, not HF, than any other antenna that I've used.
Roger that. I'm going to break away a little bit here. I know we have somebody out there listening in that Harold. I think he's involved with trucks. Harold, real quick, have you had antennas, say, on the mirror mounts ever, and how did they work?
11-meter copays. As long as you got big rig, you got enough room to put them 8-foot apart. Boy, they work great. Otherwise, never had them wherever they weren't spaced out where they belong. On my Land Cruiser, I have a fiberglass roof, and the rest of it is all steel with no padding inside or anything. And I have an old CPEC can carrier mount on the back. I had just enough room on the left corner that I could stick a 5-foot long, 1.25-inch pipe down in, use pipe clamps from radio junk and to hold it in place. Made my own mount and put my 2-meter with a base at 7 foot off the ground, and the tip is about 5 foot, or about 12 foot off the ground. So I did a pretty good job out of it.
86 YNW.
Harold, sounds like you've got just about every location taken care of there. Pretty cool. Yes, Chip, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm Chris, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes. Another little factor, having it on the roof, I think, is the best protection against RF. If you have it in the trunk, you're in the path of some RF, comparatively speaking. K6YNW.
Very good point there, and even if the RF doesn't hurt you, it certainly isn't really great for the signal pattern. I don't know if he's still out there, Mr. Net. Kelly. Kelly, do you, if you're out there, do you have one in the Yoda pillar? Don't remember. And second is, I know you've got one in one of your trucks. And where do you have those?
Every mobile that I have, the radio is on the floor under the dash on top of the bump that covers the transmission, and I'm a big fan of mag mounts. I could look it up if you need me to, but I like the mag mount, and I like the Anderson pole connectors, and I like having a radio that's just attached by four simple screws, so that if I'm out off-road and I end up, you know, in the situation where I have to abandon my truck, I've made up a short little cable about 10 feet long that has alligator clips on it big enough to go onto the battery poles of the battery under the hood, and that the other end of that has the Andersons. So I could, theoretically, if I was out on an excursion with someone and my truck died, we could take the radio, the mag mount, and the connector cable I've got to go between the battery and the Andersons, and leave my truck, but take the ham radio with us. The KISS method. KI6IQA.
Whiskey Echo.
Good deal there, Kelly. Yeah, that's really being able to not leave it behind and take it with you because you may need it still. Whiskey Echo, go ahead.
November 6, Whiskey Echo, Coachella Valley. I noticed particularly on 10-meter antennas, it seems as though the mag mount actually, for some reason, if you can put it in the center of the trunk, or I have a pickup, but center of the roof, it seems to me as though the mag mount works better. It seems as though I get a better ground plane over a permanent mounted antenna, and I can't tell you why, except I know that a magnet has several, the field rotates around the center. And maybe that's why, but I find that for 10-meter antennas, I run a Wilson M1000, and I've tried it permanent-mounted and mag-mounted, and I find I have better receive with the mag-mounted antenna for 10 meters. And 2 meters, you know, we have so many repeaters that it's kind of hard to tell, but for 10 meters, I find very, very good results with the mag-mount.
LCS. There's Clint. Clint, stand by just one quick second. You know, one thing there, Ken, I'd say that I'm looking at this article on the second page, which is page 44. They have EZNEC, the magical computer program. It's going to tell us all the good stuff about it. In the middle, whether it be normally it would have to be a mag mount unless you're going to drill a hole in your roof. So assuming it's a mag mount in the middle, because of that ground plane effect, seems like it's got the best pattern of all. Any other place, it's going to shift a little bit. Top of the vehicle is always best. Back in the trunk or the side, you're getting that interference that Chris had mentioned. Basically, the RF has got the rest of the top of the car or vehicle in the way. So, okay, well, Clint, go ahead. I'm going to hand it over to you.
Oh, just want to know we're at the site of the big rock in Aruba Valley that's leaving us tonight, the huge block of granite. So I've got a bad, there comes channel 9 and channel 2 out to cover it. Yeah, watch the news tonight. The big rock is leaving Aruba Valley for a multi-day trip out to LACMA, the LA County Museum of Art. Anyway, it's just a mag mount. Everyone needs a mag mount. Take it to you with a rental car, take it, use it in a hotel, hang it upside down from a curtain rod. They are guaranteed to scratch your car, but every ham can use it. It's not a wasted investment at all. K6 LCS.
Comment. Hey, KF6Q with Tech Usenet. Well, thanks there, Cliff. Clint, I know that you're in a bad location, but appreciate that information. Yes, Harold, go ahead.
If you want to stop the scratch on your paint job with mag mount, just get a piece of 3 mil clear plastic sheeting and put that down, put your mag mount on top of it, and you slide it around wherever you want it. It still stays in place, and you don't ruin your paint job. And if you have a pickup, the old-fashioned kind anyway, that has stake pockets on it, there's a company that builds a mount that goes in the stake pocket, and secured, they say it's anti-theft. So when I read the ad on, I've never seen one of them, but you put that in and you can put it out over the bed. That gives you the bed for ground plane. And what I heard, I haven't seen it, probably never run across the guy, heard him on 2 meters, Let me reset. He was trucker running cross country, had his own rig, own tractor and trailer, so he could do what he wanted with it, and he put a dipole lengthwise on a 45-foot aluminum dry pan. Ran his coax down, ran it in across from the on the bridge with the electrical cable and up into the cab and had his rig set up in there, and I guess he had a tuner and did the whole works driving down the highway, 86 PL.
Yeah, I think anybody with 40 foot of rig behind him is definitely going to have an advantage, other than if somebody had something like a 70 foot trailer or something. Yeah, that's got to be unique. Well, yeah, as we can always look at these modeling programs, and I think there's advantages for different types of mounts, and I think that all of the patterns show a lot of similarity, as long as they have a lot of visibility. But I think the middle with the ground plane effect seems to be the best. Mike, what's your take on that?
What I'm seeing here, Tom, the center of the top of the car is the best one. It looks like possibly the next best would be the gutter mount, and then we go down from there. I will say that speaking of 10-meter antennas, I've got a converted CB that I use for a converted 11-meter mag mount that I also use for 10 meters and 12 meters. And on our trip to Arizona over the holidays, that worked pretty well with my little QRP rig in the car.
Yeah, I know you were telling me about that, and that's pretty neat there, too. So, well, I know myself, I have a pickup truck, and I have a rack that goes over the cab. And with that, I, a long time ago, made my own personal mount that goes on to the part of the rack behind above the rear window. So it's kind of centered up on the entire truck. Doesn't have to really mount on the cab, and it seems to still do well. Not a problem there. My wife has a mag mount for the same reason. The radio can go. Actually, the coax comes through, goes around the weather stripping. The whole unit comes right out, and it's portable. And with that said, for the same reason. Mine, you know, my antenna, it's going to stay. I can unscrew it, but it's not as portable. So it's not something I have to look at in the future. So, with that said, I think the mag mount's probably the most popular, and I think, Harold, some of the mag mounts now come with like a little felt pad. Now, Mike, have you seen out there, they have that one mag mount, it's like three magnets. I mean, I think it's going to take the governator, you know, to get that thing off your roof. Is that true? I mean, I don't know. There, three magnets, one antenna, overkill, I think.
I don't believe I have seen that one, Tom. I have seen one that's a mag mount, and it's got three whips coming out of it, or three or four whips coming out of it. And I think it's in this issue. I'll take a look. But no, not with three magnets. That'd be interesting.
CIA.
Yes, George, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, you can get that. It's in the HRO catalog. Been in there for years that's available, but that's quite a bit. In my experience, I really don't like the mag mount because I did trouble bringing the coax in. Usually bring it in through a window, and if you pull into a parking lot, you have to take it all down in order to close the window. You can drill a hole and come up through the trunk and run it that way. But I've found, for my own personal use, I like drilling a hole in the roof. My car, I paid for it, I do what I want with it. The only trouble is it's a hard time sometimes getting the coax in between the roof and the headliner. So on my last couple of cars that I've had, and by the way, I get no interference from anything from it, but I use a regular antenna, and then I make an L bracket, mount the antenna to that, and then where the hood meets the fender up by the windshield. I open that, and you can mount that L bracket there. The holes don't show. You close the hood, it works great. And when you get ready to sell it, you take your antenna off and no holes show. So anyway, that's what I've done. It seems to work out great. It works fine for 2 meters. It's down a little bit lower, but also that makes it so I can drive in and out of the garage without taking the antenna off the roof. K6CIA.
KF6Q here, Check Tuesday. Garage? Are they actually used for parking cars? I thought they were for tools and parts and things. Oh, just kidding there, George. Good thought there. Yes. Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, I know a fellow that had that three magnet set up. He said that he didn't find anything that was so large that it would move that no matter how fast he went down the freeway. He said that it's... you have to pry them loose one magnet at a time and put something under it to keep it from clamping back down again. But he said it's a little difficult to get off. But there's another one also I've seen at for it has four big magnets. And that's for your big HF antennas that have a lot of... drag on them whenever you're doing 70, 80 mile an hour down the freeway, but I would assume that they work pretty good. They're pretty expensive, and they might be heavy enough, these new cars, they might dent the rooftop whenever you set them down on it. 86 feel.
I can see where that would be a problem, and my Jeep, which is a canvas top Wrangler, here again, best I can do with that is backed by the rear tire carrier, jack carrier, and all that. Really cool, neat thing. They actually made a place back there already drilled out for an antenna. And that worked pretty good. So the mag mounts, also very cool. My wife has that. She pulls that thing loose, tucks it inside when she takes it through the car wash. Not a problem. But Harold, how about this? I've got this rack on the truck. Now, let's see, if I get like maybe a quarter inch plate steel up there in that rack, tie it to the rack, and they're right in the middle of this quarter inch plate steel, we put one of those three element magnets, and let's see, okay, how much ground clearance we got there? What's the lowest bridges we're gonna be going under there? Oh, there's always ways to do. I'm thinking about this. Anyway, the good deal, like I said, there's many different ways to do that, a lot of different, everything's got its good points and bad points, and I think the best thing to do for anybody is just make it happen, whatever works for you and your use. Mike, any comment on that?
Well, especially for repeater work, if you're doing a lot of simplex, yeah, you may have to pay a little bit more attention. If you're a fringe area type person and far away from the repeater, yeah. But for most cases, center of the roof and as high as you can get it, right, you know, on the top of the roof, it works better. Also, we didn't mention that this, I think maybe you did, this EasyNEC modeling software, I guess you can get a free demo online, but also your, if you have an ARRL antenna book, in the back, the CD has antenna modeling software too, so you can kind of play with this stuff yourself. Back over to you, Tom.
One more comment and I'm gone.
Harold, yes, go ahead, and you don't have to go away. Stay, please.
No, I've got to do a breathing treatment here. No, I was going to say is that for people that have a roof rack and they go in and out of parking structures or garages, Diamond makes a really neat all-over mount. It's motorized, remote control from inside your car. And I'm sure you can adapt it to fit a variety of different things. And whenever you come up, you're going to have to go through a low bridge. You just hit the button, it tips over. Whenever you get, you know, ready to go back out where it's clear air above you, hit the button and it raises back up again. It's a little expensive, I think. I don't know what the price is, but HRO has them, 86 fuel.
You know, actually, I think it's a Diamond I have on my Jeep that actually has, it's not motorized, you know, you can little wing nut thing, you spin it loose and this thing will fold over. The only problem is you got to remember to do that. Did put it in the garage, did not remember. Amazing, though, those antennas will straighten out after they're bent. It's amazing. But only so many times, so I'm not going to push it. But anyway, yeah, that's a good deal. And, you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot of little things out there. Really cool stuff, too. A lot more stuff available today than there ever has been, I think. Just a matter of getting out there and seeing what works. Well, anyway, that's anybody else out there, anything to add? We're going to kind of go around the loop a little bit, but getting ready to close the net. Anybody with any comments or suggestions or questions, please come back to KF6Q.
Yeah, bye, Al.
Okay, I think I had somebody before FIL. Please come back. Yeah, station out there getting a whole lot of noise. Almost can't even copy anything at all there. So let me hand it over to you. Mike, FIL, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, that Diamond Motorized, that's a neat little unit. We have it on a Jeep. It's pretty cool. You can lower it down to where it's flat, flush with the top. You push the button, it goes right back up. So far, we really haven't had a real good chance of testing it, but the testing that we have done on it, it's working pretty good. KJ6FIL, back to you.
YNW.
Okay, don't go away there, Mike. Let me hand it over to Chris real quick, and then I got a question for you. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes. Having the mag mount, having the coax going through the window, it isn't a problem. You can roll the window pretty well up. But what I like about the mag mount is, in most places, I can put it in the trunk, and it's not identifying it as someone looking in to see what they can purloin. K6YNW.
Yeah, that's a very good point. If you're in a park and be away from the vehicle, everything goes inside. I know on my wife's truck, essentially the coax, well, it's, what is it, 2004 F-150, and there's enough cushion in the, I'm going to call it the door molding there, and it doesn't crush the coax. So it actually isn't too bad. Don't really recommend that, but actually you can do that and still keep the windows up, so that's kind of a cool thing. But anyway, Mike, FIL, do you remember just ballpark what those run? I haven't really seen those, but as far as is the motorized part separate, or does it all come together with that and the antenna?
God, I can't remember, but I think the motorized part was a little bit over 100 bucks, and then the antenna, I think it's separate, depending upon what antenna you want for it.
Okay, copy that. And then it's just a matter of wiring that thing in like anything else. Vehicle wiring, that's just wiring stuff from the roof, like many of us know, it's just a pain. Whether you're trying to hide it in a headliner or wherever you're going, it's just not. They don't put little wire chases and... it'd be nice if they did, but anyway, maybe someday. Anybody else out there with any comments, please come back.
I hear that. They never make anything easy for installing anything. you just got to be creative and have a little bit of time to kind of play with it. That's basically where it's all about. KJ6, FIL, back to you.
You know, one thing just kind of crossed my mind here, one thing we probably should mention when we're trying to route coax, aren't there certain vehicles where in the, is that in the post there's like an air canister or something. Not sure exactly why. I thought that was in like the steering column or whatever. But isn't there some vehicles have like an air canister? I was saying that post going up the side of the windshield. Mike, do you know anything about that?
A little bit. Depending on the vehicles, but most of your vehicles has got an airspace in between your A post, your B post, your C posts, and everything, to where you can get up to the roofing. Dan's KG6YCC's he's got I can't remember the year. I think it's an 06-07 GMC. In which he's got a window or a gutter mount antenna on it, but we ran it through the post down the doorway and then back up under into the dashboard.
Yeah, I copy that. And I think a lot of it, if you can get what's under that carpet sometimes, or if there's a tunnel through the tunnel, that's just, you want to have it so it's not going to get smashed. Biggest problem I've had with her truck, it comes down around through the, through the weather stripping fine, and it comes down, and you really don't notice it that much, and it's demountable. And it comes down by, she's got the door and a half with the bench seat in the back, and the problem is when the bench seat, it just seems to always get caught in the hook or in the clip of that bench seat, so she's probably... by accident, it's just I got to go through and change that coax again. But you know, it's just probably not the best way, and it's not her fault. It's where I put it, so got to fix it. Since we stopped getting snow, anyway, well, that could be tomorrow. Who knows? Or maybe not tomorrow. Well, good deal, Mike. Appreciate all that information. And there's a lot of different ways out there to do that. Anybody else? Any other comments? Please come back before we close net KF6Q.
Comment.
W6PO. Oh, how you doing? Go ahead, Chip.
Okay, Tom, and good evening again. Before you do this, I was thinking about the permanent installations on top of the metal roofs, and read the article quickly during the blaster, so to speak, and the effect of the ground plane of the metal roof and such. One thing that I've done before in the past is with regards to, like, getting the antenna off the roof, concerns of security and such, people breaking it, thinking there's a radio to steal and such. You can leave the mount, of course, permanently it's there, it's drilled through your roof. But you can, all those antennas, by experience has been, you can unthread the antenna either at the spring load, or you can actually take the antenna and leave the little base there. If you're concerned about getting it underneath the tight quarters of a underground garage or something, or you're just kind of concerned about announcing that you may have a radio inside your car. Hi, W6POO.
Yeah, KF6Q in the group for the Tech Tuesday. And, you know, and I think that's probably, we're going to look at that as probably one of the most important things, and the detachable plates, for the radios, a lot of different things there. It's just auto theft and thievery out of autos, radios and such. There's always a risk out there, and so it's probably always a good idea to keep your ham radio someplace where it's either not in the vehicle or completely hidden and locked up. So out of the vehicle is best. Anyway, anybody else out there, any comments or questions, please come back.
K60US, good evening.
There's my favorite ham from 29 Palms. Go ahead, G.
Well, as you can see, my rig is back up. I had one of the ham guy in the valley came, put the new antenna, fixed my old antenna, it's like new, put a long line, and I put my FHA Intel tuner, MFJ998 automatic tuner, install it for me, stay all day long, pick up a bunch of elements for himself, clean up all the elements I had. It was a really fine day. We had a beautiful lunch, his wife came up too, and we had a really, really nice day. And I sure appreciate people like that. It's really a pleasure to be a ham. K6TUX back to net control.
Well, Dee, I'm glad they got that all working for you. And I'll guarantee you, with the way the prices of gas are going, we're going to have to take out a loan next time we come down to see you. Oh, goodness. Well, we don't want to go there with the gas. It's just sky high. But anyway, glad to hear you out there. You sound really good, hitting the repeater really fine. And just keep up the good work there with the net and everything else you do. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions, please come back.
86 feel. It's down to nothing. I couldn't even transmit to receive. Thanks, guy. That guy came and he belonged to the club down here. And it was really a pleasure. The guy is a real artist, I can tell you that. I don't think there is many guys like him. Make all kind of underground antenna, all kind of different antenna. He's really up to date and behind up to date.
Okay, well, good deal there. Yeah, and we have a comment there from Harold. Go with 86BL. Go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, I just about finished my breathing thing here, so I'm going to be good for another 12, 14 hours. One thing that might be a good reminder for everybody that's going to buy a factory-made mount, go online if you can and go to the manufacturer's website and read all the specs on it. And every one of these that I've looked at, I haven't bought any because I make my own, and because I can't mount stuff the way most people can with a fiberglass roof. I'm not about to ruin that by drilling a hole in. But each one of these that I've looked at tells you the length of the antenna that you can mount on that without it disassembling the mount. So they're pretty flimsy looking, the one I looked at. But I went up to HRO and looked at the display up there, and they all of them look pretty flimsy. But Diamond especially, they're adamant about telling you the exact length of what you can put on any one of their mounts. And I'm sure all the other manufacturers are, because they don't want people getting really ticked off because their $100 antenna went flying down the highway, 86 mil.
And that's a very good point. That's like anything we do. We got to always make sure that the quality is there, or that individual is going to be responsible, whoever it is, whether it be me or you or the next guy. You know what? If we don't do a good job, things can happen. And like I say, then we don't have an antenna. Mine did come loose. Fortunately, it landed in the truck bed, and that was perfectly fine. So, very, very, just road vibration itself kind of got everything working loose there, and so I had to put a little Loctite on it, and that solved the problem. Anyway, anybody else out there with any comments, please come back. All right, well, I think we've had a really good discussion about the mobile antennas and stuff like that and locations, and I'm going to hand it back to Mike real quick. Just, Mike, anything to say in closing?
Nothing really. We always say that the antenna is probably one of the most important parts of your amateur radio station, so antenna information is always necessary and welcomed at this end, so good topic, Tom. Back to you.
Okay, yeah, you know, and I think maybe we kind of delve a little bit next week into screwdriver antennas. I mean, we're basically talking about HF or VHF stuff tonight. Screwdriver antennas, a whole different ball game there, trying to get that huge HF antenna shrunk down and making it work. So a couple little things there. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit next week. So, well, anyway, enjoy everybody being out there this Tuesday, and thanks all for joining in. Appreciate that. As always, you know, we always seem to come up with some good information out there from everybody who listens in, and that's appreciated. Remember, it's a collective of everybody's knowledge out there and experience. So in that, I'm going to close the net down for this Tuesday. Please join us again next Tuesday at 1900 hours, and we'll do something similar. I think we'll just do a lot of it with the HF and actually even go beyond that. So QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 1900 hours, 45 minutes. Thanks again for everybody for joining. Returning the repeater back to normal use. Thank you.